Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to another brand new episode of Mysteries of the Unexplained with myself, Will, this week, and the magical Annie Gann. Annie Gann, how are you?
Alakazam.
Oh, sorry, that's me being magical.
Sorry. What kind of magical creature would you think you would be, actually, just off topic segue in there?
A bat. I would be a bat.
That's okay, that's not a magical animal, but that's fine. This is the headspace that we're in this week, that's fine. How's your week?
Good, very good. Working away, and I had to go do the shopping. In Ireland they would say, go get the messages. I had to go get the messages today, i.e. grocery shop. Oh my God, yeah. I got fucked up the ass with Christmas today. I'm not ready for it, Will. Like I started panicking about not having enough Christmas stuff done, and I was like, everyone's going around with their trolley loads of like Christmas lights and stuff, and I was like, am I meant to be where you're at? Because I'm just obviously with the bat comment still in a Halloween frame of mind, and I'm not ready for Christmas now. It's a bit early for me, but I do love it. Like, I love all of it. I love Christmas. And I don't care how early it starts, but I just feel like I'm not on the same page as people. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I do like Christmas, but I also kind of don't like a massive big run-up to it. I think this whole, like, from September on is just too much. Would you be getting now a tree in the mobile, or is that a no-go? No.
No, we have no floor space left in our little trailer here. So last year's Christmas tree, I got a little live Christmas tree in a pot and I had it on a window, and then I threw it outside the door, and she's grown loads during the year. It's actually it's one of the only plants that lasted all year. And I'll just bring it back in. I'll shake the spiders off it and bring it back in for Christmas and fuck a few lights on it. Also, Watty has a thing about Christmas decorations, and the first year we got a tree that sat on the floor, all of the toy soldiers got dismembered very, very quickly. So we can't have anything that will we can't have anything that will be within grasp of him. But no, I'll Christmas the shit out of the rest of the mobile, though. I'll have fucking lights and bullshit hanging off everywhere. I love it. I do love it, and I love the run up to Christmas, but I feel like behind the curve, but maybe that's because I do think all the shops are starting Christmas earlier and earlier, and it just frightened me today. I was like, I only came in to get the regular stuff today. Now I didn't come in to get the Christmas stuff, you know?
Didn't get the memo, sensory overload.
Didn't get the memo. Just crazy.
Just crazy. Well, speaking of Christmas, I have a story for you from St. Patrick's Day 44 years ago, which obviously ties in with Christmas. That's very paranormal, if you would like to hear it.
Okay. Okay, I do want to hear it, and I'm very interested in St. Patrick's Day. Also, I think you've got your seasons mixed up, and that was the worst segue ever. Speaking well, of Christmas, I have a St. Patrick's Day story at Thanksgiving.
It was never going to be fluid, and that is what we call a joke. You're a bit off today. I think your operating system is wrong between the bat comments, the Christmas thing, and not being able to pick up on that joke. I'm disappointed. You know what? I am disappointed.
Just because we're recording, I poured a little glass of wine for myself. It's a little treat whenever we record. So I'll just sip and you just talk, okay?
Yeah, grand. It was about 11:30 on the 17th of March, 1978, when Ken Edwards, 39, was driving home from a union meeting in Sale Greater Manchester. It had been a quiet ride, at least until he got close to his house. Just as he approached the roundabout near the UK AEA site fire station and the university's research reactor building, Edwards claimed that he spied what he thought was a man climbing, but quickly realised that he was looking at a gargantuan humanoid figure lumbering down the steep embankment adjacent to the nuclear facility. The startled engineer immediately hit the brakes and his van slowed to a halt near the curb of the road, some 50 feet away from the humanoid, which was now illuminated by headlights. Edwards stared in astonishment at this bipedal beast, which he would later dub the Silver Man, as it lurched down the hill with its arms outstretched, utilising strange, stiff-legged movements, like someone who was born without knee joints. In fact, Edwards' description he made of this being makes it hard not to conjure up images of some kind of large intergalactic entity. Edwards said the creature assumed an odd stooped posture as it scrambled down the hill, which seemed impossible for a human to emulate without toppling over. At this point, the eccentric entity passed at the edge of the road, and Edwards got his first good look at it under the glare of his high beams. He estimated that the figure was at least 7 feet in height and was clad in some sort of reflective silver fabric. He also claimed that the figure's roundish face was black, or that it was covered with some sort of mask with no discernible features. Furthermore, it had two tiny arms that were not attached to its shoulders, but stuck straight out of its chest like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Now, who do we both know that does a wonderful claw hand? Who is it on the podcast? Is it me or you? Who does the claw hand?
William.
You're already in the running. You're already in the running is what I'll say.
This creature seems like, as you're describing, it seems the way a child would draw a human. You know the way like children will draw a human where it's just like the knees won't bend, like they're just stick legs and the arms don't come out of the shoulders. They just come out of like near their belly button some way. I feel like some child created this being, but I will let you continue.
Ken sat frozen in his vehicle as this silver man continued to walk towards and then across the road, coming within 15 feet of him. Once it passed in front of him, however, this silver man looked eerily in his direction to reveal two red glowing eyes. At this point, Edwards claims that two laser-like beams shot from the being's eyes towards his vehicle, blinding him momentarily. Edwards says that these beams of light rendered him paralysed within his vehicle and reported a crushing force pushing down on him, robbing him of his breath. This horrifying experience seemed to subside a few moments later, only to be followed by a burning odour which filled the car. Edwards looked down to find his car's radio emanating smoke. Then a crippling pain drew his eyes to his fingers on his right hand, where his fingers were now brightly coloured and throbbing in pain. He looked up to witness this silver man continuing to walk towards the security fence that surrounded the UK AEA site. To Ken's amazement, the figure raised an arm and simply walked straight through the 10-foot-tall barbed wire-topped chain-linked security fence and disappeared into the darkness. Shocked, Ken continued on his way home, where he drank a large whiskey and told his wife, "I've seen a silver man." Upon reflection, Ken thought... That was actually an authentic audio file that I inserted there. Upon reflection, Ken thought that there might actually be a security issue, so he and his wife drove to the nearby Padgate police station to report the sighting. There they relayed what Edwards had witnessed to police officers, who could clearly tell that Ken had been shaken up by something. It was decided that the UK AEA nuclear constabulary be contacted and that Ken was to accompany them back to the scene of this strange encounter. As Ken and the police officer reached Staten Avenue, they were surprised to find a group of 25 UK AEA constabulary officers gathered at the spot where the encounter had occurred. Despite hearing Ken's story, this band of men seemed unsurprised, but insisted that they show him exactly the spot where he had seen this strange figure. A check of the fence, however, showed that it had not been damaged in any way. Ken and the police officer watched as the security officers combed the area for approximately an hour or so, refusing access to the grounds of the nuclear site on grounds that there was nothing to support the allegation, ultimately asking the two men to leave. Ken headed home. At about midnight on Thursday, March 23rd, 1978, a mere 6 days after his frightening run-in with the unknown, Edwards once again found himself at the site of the event, this time with a man who was only identified as a freelance UFO investigator from Leeds. Edwards claimed that for a second time he felt himself being overcome by the disturbing mental and physical sensations that had flooded him during his staring match with the Silver Man. Fighting his urge to immediately leave the scene, Edwards forced himself to get out of the vehicle and began walking up the embankment with the man from Leeds. Once they reached the top, he and the investigator went their separate ways, and that's when Edwards noticed the silver man standing in the distance. As quoted from an article at the time, "It was then, in the distance, that he saw a figure again atop of the wasteland and walking away from him. It was at this point that the grotesque apparition abruptly vanished, never to be seen again." The courage that had inspired Edwards to accompany the investigator to the top of the hill all but evaporated, and he rushed down the slope and sped home, evidently leaving the Leeds fellow behind. Now, would you go back to the scene of the crime, for starters? I, for one, would not.
I, for one, would not. But if it was going to be me or this fella from Leeds that nobody knew who he was or why he was there, I'd be like, "See you later, sucker." I'd be fucking gone over there. Or if it was me and you who went, I'd be like, "Bye, bitch." I'd be in my little Ford Fiesta and I'd be fucking gone down the road and you'd be standing there, paralysed. Paralyzed with fear, so you would. I don't know if it's just the mood that I'm in tonight, but I think this is gas. I'm just imagining him when he walked through that fence holding up his little T-Rex arm, being like, "Hey, let me in there now, lads."
It also reminds me of like some sort of Godzilla, you know, movie, Japanese movie that's just like Silver Man, like laser eyes with Tyrannosaurus hands. But also, if you seen it on the road at night time, you'd be fucking shitting your pants.
Absolutely terrified. You know, it's one of my big fears that I don't really like driving on my own at night time, like, or along like country roads and stuff like that, because I was saying it to Dave in the car the other day. I was like, "Oh, this freaks me out, like near my home. It's really like close, like one car with all these like ditches that nearly touch off the car and stuff." And I'd be like, "Oh, I'd be terrified coming down here on my own." He was like, "Why? Sure, like you're in the car and you're locked in." And I was like, "Yeah, but like, what if some fucking weird thing just like jumped out the ditch or something?" Now, around here, it's likely to be some crazy neighbour. But even that, I just run him over with the car, keep going.
That's comforting. Somebody asks him for help and he's like, "No!" Continue on. The week following the event, Edwards claimed he couldn't sleep, finding himself lying in bed at night wide awake with his fingers still throbbing. Another bizarre side effect of this encounter was his car radio that an engineer who looked at said it was too badly damaged to fix, saying a massive surge in energy seemed to have completely fried its internal components. It might all have ended there, but for the Warrington Guardian publishing the details on its front page the following week. Grizzly monster terrifies driver. Who or what was the monster? 7 foot tall, clad in a silver coloured suit with two beams of light emanating from its eyes, which confronted a Warrington service engineer after midnight on Friday. According to the report, a police spokesman said, "We have interviewed Mr. Edwards and have no reason to discount his story," which is quite interesting that they did say that, isn't it?
Yeah, the first thing, like, I always just imagine him going into that cop in the first place, some Manchester cop being like, "You what? You seen what?" Like, you know, like, fuck off. But I appreciate that. I do.
I feel like somebody in the police station seen this fucking thing as well, but isn't owning up to it. And it's just like, yeah. Was it like a T-Rex in a silver outfit? Oh, yeah. And then they're like, okay, let's go and look. And they're like, we believe in it. We believe in it. It didn't take long for the UFO community to be drawn to the case. Ken helpfully drew a map showing the scene of its sighting, placing the silver man near the fire station and the nuclear reactor. Ken also recounted that when the creature looked at him, it felt as though two heavy hands were pushing down on him in his car seat. The local police, with a little help from the UKAEA, continued their own investigation. Perhaps Ken simply saw a fireman in a silver suit. The police and local UKAEA staff tested this by arranging for a fireman to be present on site as Ken drove past again, but he said it was nothing like what he had seen. But then you're going to say that, aren't you? You're not going to say, "Oh, that's what I saw." You're going to be like, "Nah, this thing had wings. This thing had wings." You're going to be like, you know, you're going to be like, "Oh, fuck, I just saw a fireman. No, the police are here and the whole fucking nuclear site are outside." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, everybody."
Maybe he just saw a man, a tall man like you with long legs and maybe some kind of arm deficit in a disco suit with red sunglasses on.
Maybe. Listen, ends possibility at this stage. One bizarre note in the case was the discovery of a circular area of flattened grass and the body of a dead rabbit with no visible cause of death, both situated at the top of the embankment where Edwards said this figure had descended. As you can imagine, with a lack of leads, this investigation was soon discontinued. 3 weeks after the incident, Edwards and his wife had been driving home past the facility near to where he had seen the silver man when he said he was overcome with a strange feeling that caused him to pull over and leave his vehicle, resulting in him blacking out for a few moments. Once he regained consciousness, Edwards and his wife continued their journey home, where they both agreed to avoid the road around the facility. A week after this event, Edwards says that he was awoke by a deep humming sensation that seemed to be coming from outside. Once he opened the window, the sound grew louder. In the days that followed, locals reported seeing a cigar-shaped object in the skies above the Atomic Energy Facility. Later that year, Ken Edwards started experiencing crippling stomach pain and weight loss. After seeking a diagnosis for his ailments, he was eventually diagnosed with cancer of the kidneys. Despite major surgery, he eventually passed away only 5 years later. A theory of what happened that night was that college students were simply pulling a prank. Police did investigate this idea, however, and found no evidence. There was no rag week or similar activity taking place at that time, making it hard to believe that a group of students would hang around an empty quarter of Risley just to appear in front of a lone driver and then manage the tricky feat of appearing to walk through a 10-foot high fence. Another university building at the site, known as the Isolation Unit, became a subject of interest, as it was believed to have hosted some sort of sensory deprivation experiments. This led to suggestions that very vivid and mystical hallucinations had somehow conjured up a tulpa-like entity that had escaped the participants' minds and walked across the road. The official word on this, however, is that there was an experiment taking place on site at the time, but not one that would conjure up red-eyed silver men. Students were taking part in the study of circadian rhythms and how these rhythms could alter or change during isolation from the outside world. I will say that there is also a rumour at the time that a man nicknamed Big John had dressed up in a protective silver suit that he had gotten from the fire station and had simply been playing a prank on some students. And an intoxicated Ken Edwards, who was coming back from that union party, had unknowingly stumbled across him and thought he was some sort of silver Tyrannosaurus Rex with red eyes. But then again, I will bring it back to the police making somebody put on the suit and walking across, and he said it wasn't like them. So Annie, I ask you today, what exactly do you believe Ken Edwards witnessed that night?
I think he witnessed you on your way home from the club wearing some kind of new spandex that was in the 70s. I know you say that you were born in the 80s, but I don't know, your face is starting to say differently. And you had on a pair of those sunglasses that sometimes people wear in clubs to hide the fact that they've been doing illicit substances. And the fact that you got over the fence is you're just that skinny. You're just that skinny. You actually slipped through it. You didn't walk through it. You just slipped in through it. A 5 millimetre gap there. Now you'd be in there, no bother. And it was actually you. And I feel like this isn't even a case. This is just an excerpt from your diary at the Times.
In the words of Judith Shineland, baloney.
I'm kind of terrified about this now, because it seemed like this thing or whatever it was, like, copped your man and he shouldn't have seen him. And I feel like he came back for him and was looking for him and he made him sick.
Yeah, I think that I don't know what to think anymore. Part of me thinks it was some sort of weird alien creature that was trying to get some fucking energy off the nuclear site, and then was zzzz at your man, and then he gave him cancer, God love him. But then that is very far-fetched, isn't it?
Well, it is very far-fetched, but it's like everything with every story that we do on this podcast. Like, you know, in my normal day-to-day, like going around doing the pre-Christmas shopping, I'm like, no, like things like that don't exist. There's a rational explanation for everything. And then I'm sitting here now at 10:30 at night with a glass of wine, and I'm like, it's completely true. Like, there are these things all around us all the time, and I'm fucking terrified. Terrified.
Sorry, I don't really know how to answer that. Yeah, I mean, there is I'm just a bit gobsmacked by it. Like, I mean, yeah, I suppose there's the whole host of theories and ideas about the interdimensional things and aliens, and I don't know, it's kind of a bit fucking mental. Could it be that he was just pissed as a fart driving back and saw somebody pulling a prank? Yeah.
Well, it could be that, but that doesn't really explain his experiences after that. Number one, I would never be driving down that road again. I'd be going back home from Manchester via London if it meant that I didn't have to go down that road. And what's that thing about him and the wife in the car? And then he was, passed out on the road for a few minutes. Now, either the two of these lads, we're getting a whole load of drugs and alcohol back in Greater Manchester, back in the 70s, I'm sure it was around. But I just don't understand, if, why would you go and kind of embarrass yourself going to the cops and stuff like that and telling them this really mad, crazy story if you didn't really believe that it was something important?
Yeah, that is very true. Just to on your first point there, I would not be going back there. He went back to that area 3 times. Now, maybe it was just the shortest route to get home, but still,
I'd be getting around the world trip on an airplane to come back via somewhere else. I wouldn't be able to. Anyway, I wouldn't have gotten that far, because the minute that thing turned around to me with its silver fucking face and its T-Rex arms and looked at me with his red laser eyes, I'd be gone with the fright. Gone. Dead.
I think you'd be after causing a nuclear incident, because you just would fucking drive the car in through the fence and into a reactor.
Totally. I'd be like, let it be over. I'm not waiting around. I'm not waiting around for this bollocks to come looking at for me and his cigar shaped fucking craft flying around the neighborhood going, where does that prick live? I would drive my Ford Fiesta into the nuclear reactor and just be like, I had a great time. It's over. Bye bye. And take all of Greater Manchester and the north of England with me.
I would you just drive in the car screaming with your hair fried from the laser beams? Frazzled, like a frazzled mass
standing
of hair.
On edge.
burnt fingers and like some sort of fucking Cher song blaring because the radio malfunctioned. It'd have
Do
to be
you
Cher.
It couldn't be that song
because that would be the future, although maybe it would have just jumped to the future and played.
Oh, okay, sorry. Gypsies, tramps and tears. Well, Will, I think in a world that there's a fucking silver suited alien walking through walls and laser beaming me with his eyes, that sure could have released that a few years earlier. I'm going to have to go watch something really stupid on telly now before I go to bed, because I can't be going to bed with this in my head. I'll be rolling around the bed all night having nightmares.
It is terrifying to think of a man in the nighttime in a silver suit like stalking you with red eyes. Oh, I would pay someone money to like put me outside your mobile now with two lasers and just shine them in. It would be great. It would be fantastic.
You do pay money for men to come to your house and stalk you.
Let's not expose you on air.
Okay, it's time to go.
Annie. Don't be so smutty. Don't be so smutty, Annie. It doesn't suit you. It doesn't suit you. That concludes today's very weird story. I hope you liked it. Next week we have part two of Annie's little two-parter, so I'm sure you're all waiting for that.
I was on holidays last week, and I am so dedicated that I brought the book with me, and oh my god, you just wait for this. There'll be no fucking T-Rex little stupid arms laser eyes coming at you. This is the real shit. Okay, bye. I gotta go to bed. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. As always, you can find all the links you need in today's episode show notes. And until next week, join us for another mystery episode.
Annie is going to do the outro. Will is physically incapable of doing an outro. So for now, I will say, stay safe, friends. Now I can't do it. You've infected me with your country, with your absolute country. Until next week, stay safe. I can't do it now. Will is physically unable to perform as usual, so I will say, until next week, stay safe and join us next time for another mystery of the unexplained.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.